App.
Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Brian!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios here on Madison's Near West Side from Mad Radio 92.7 FM WMDX 1580 AM and around the state on a local Civic Media radio station near you. I'm joined on a Thursday afternoon by Todd Alba, which you can also hear on tremendous Civic Media radio stations WRCE, WXCO, and WLAK. Hosting the Todd Alba Show from 8 to 11 a.m. on those stations. Todd, how are we doing on this Thursday?
Absolutely fantastic, Luke. I am raring to go. Always a pleasure to join you on the show. The big guy, I understand, is still trying to get the voice back. And so we're thinking of him.
It's at like 90%, but he's still not quite there. When it goes out, it goes out. So that 10% still not great.
Well,
but
we're just filling in temporarily, waiting for him to get better. And in the meantime, I'm taking all kinds of Claritin and NyQuil and every other medication I can for these darn sinuses and allergies.
Yeah, it is that time of season again. And we're going to dive into a little bit about, you know, No Mo May, the allergy season coming up in a little bit. We'll also share a tangent about some octogenarians because, you know, I like to talk about those. And
yes,
one octogenarian finds herself in the headlines again. But before that...
I'm here to represent all octogenarians.
Todd's here to defend the octogenarians.
The old, the infirmed.
But before that, we're going to dive into a bit of reporting going on here in Madison at the state capitol. Because yesterday, it was scheduled for 1 p.m. I don't know what time the actual vote took place. I want to say it was just before 9 p.m. But the session of 5 hours of debate was supposed to start at 1. Never really does when that schedule gets put together. But the Republican lawmakers leading the state assembly passed a version of a shared revenue bill yesterday. And it seems like there's a little bit of Republicans in disarray, Todd.
A rift is what it's being called. There is a rift in the Republican Party. Not everybody is happy at the picnic. Their picnic basket is getting eaten up.
See, and media always likes the alliteration when it comes to Dems in disarray, but this just is called a GOP rift. It's right there. Why would you not call it the Republican rift?
You should be writing the headlines.
Come on,
the Journal Sentinel.
What's going on?
Because we share this. I know. I've heard you talk about it before. I'm a big alliteration person as well.
Yes.
I love alliteration.
But when you click on it, so for whatever reason, on the homepage, it is GOP rift. But when you click on the headline, it then in the story, rift, it does go to the alliteration. I was going to say, because I thought I saw it twice. But
They do pretty Republican rift over referendum requirement. That's pretty good.
Well, and that's much different, though, than the GOP rift puts municipal funding bill in jeopardy. So I don't know why they have two different...
It's the same amount of space.
Come on. What are you talking about? Whatever. I don't know. It always baffles me when you do put one headline on your like homepage.
I know,
a different
headline.
I don't know if it's SEO stuff or what, but it's weird. But okay. So yesterday, Republican lawmakers in the state assembly passed this slight revision...
Yeah.
The revised bill than what they had originally proposed. Not a whole lot of changes at all to it, though.
Right.
Very, very few amendments got brought up. Still a lot of the strings attached to local municipalities. Still only about a half of what the funding would be for local governments here in Wisconsin compared to what the governor has put together in his proposal. So not a whole lot changed. The poison pills, as they get referred to, as we're speaking about alliteration, they're still in there with all those strings attached, making Milwaukee, the city and county, have to go to a voter referendum to be able to increase their sales tax and receive some of these benefits from the shared revenue proposal. And now it seems like, well, Robin Voss wasn't really following through with his coworkers over on the state assembly side, because it sounds like Robin's done negotiating.
That's what he says.
Those are the quotes from him yesterday in front of the state capitol. And state senator majority leader Devin LeMahieu, I honestly still don't know how it's pronounced. I've heard it many different ways.
You
I don't know
LeMahieu,
which. Yeah.
I say LeMahieu. Da, 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 da. You can catch us down at the piano bar on State Street later on tonight.
Ooh,
thank you very much.
There we go. It's Dueling Pianos.
Dueling Tangents at Dueling Pianos.
Oh my gosh.
On State
we
Street.
May have just touched on something there, Todd.
That's going to happen.
I'm always a big fan for Dueling Pianos, too. So I'll have to check it out. Yeah.
Do you play?
No.
Neither do I.
No.
Just Brian?
Tone deaf. I don't think.
He's a very talented guy.
He's a very talented
man. Surprise me.
He could probably. He's one of those guys that would like sit down in front of the piano and then be able to pretty quickly pick
right,
it up.
Right, fake it.
Yeah. Well, not even fake it. Like
just
he'd just
do
be
it.
Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah, this is how you do that.
Right, then, right.
So I could see that happening. I don't know 100%. Though if he knows how to play the piano. But
anyway, whoever did the Senate Majority Leader, let me heal LeMahieu. It's the Senate
Devin,
Majority Leader.
Yes,
Senator Devin.
He's saying, well, I don't know why Voss is drawing a line in the sand right now, because they're going to take up a public hearing next week, it sounds like, for the version that the Republicans had started floating around shared revenue, and they're going to see. But it seems like the state Senate Republican caucus is okay with not making Milwaukee, the city and county, go to a voter referendum to be able to increase its sales tax. But they're at an impasse then with their assembly colleagues. Todd, as somebody that worked in the building for many, many years, what can you tell us about this rift between the state assembly and the state Senate?
It's a little bit unusual only from the sense that it's being made public. And,
okay.
And as a former Republican for 30 years, having left the party in 2011, but back in the mid 2000s, 04, 05, 06, when my former boss, Dale Schultz, was the Republican Senate Majority Leader and John Gard was the Republican Speaker of the Assembly, oh, look, they certainly had some disagreements. I remember one in particular where Speaker Gard called over, was put on a speakerphone, and was like, look, Dale, if you think, and it just went on from there. But when it came to public, in the public, they would be like, well, we're still working on it. You know, and it was always this kind of, you know, are you on the team? Don't throw the other side.
A united front.
Right. Don't throw the other side under the bus. You have to put on a unified front, especially in light of the Democrats, right? When you're a Republican, vice versa, when you're a Democrat. And so it's only unusual in the effect, for me at least, to see both the speaker and the majority leader from the same party openly, maybe not feuding, that's a heavy word, but not in agreement. And
not
even,
on the same page.
Not on the same page. And even more unusual for the speaker to force through a vote without knowing whether or not that the other house is going to pass it.
And he didn't even have his full caucus.
Right.
Not all of the Republican lawmakers in the state assembly voted for the proposal that was before the assembly last night.
Brandigan was one of them. That didn't surprise me because she's just off on another planet, right? I mean, she's already been kicked out of the caucus for all intents and purposes. There's another guy from Mequon, and I forget.
I want to say there was 9 holdouts. I want to say
9? I thought it was 3.
No,
maybe not.
From my brief math, 56 to 36, that would be 62, 92. So 7 holdouts.
All right. Well,
so one of those seats currently vacant because Dan Knodel, in the move from the state assembly to the state Senate, now in that special election last spring. So outside of that vacant seat, there's 6 additional holdouts. So at least a handful of Republican caucus members not voting for Voss's jammed through proposal on shared revenue last night.
And again, I think it's just unusual that the speaker would push this through without having all of his ducks. That's the 3 rules of politics, right? Remember who your friends are, keep your ducks in a row, and raise more money.
Well, I mean, it seems like this may be kind of par for the course for Robin Voss, though.
Enlighten us. You have done some research here.
Well, it just jogged my memory from back in 2015. Then-Governor Scott Walker had a trifecta. The Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, still in his current position. Senate Majority Leader was then Scott Fitzgerald, who's now a member of Congress after reserving a room at the state capitol for insurrectionists in December of 2020. Just a little side tangent on who Scott Fitzgerald is.
Yeah.
But then the State Assembly and State Senate, with the governor, Scott Walker, off trying to run for president that summer. He was touting his Republican bona fides all over the country. He was on a tour and then was waiting for the budget to get passed to announce his campaign for president. Mm. But he was essentially doing a shadow campaign right up to that point. And so with him out of the state, it was really left to Voss and Fitzgerald to be able to craft a budget. And even with unified control, a Republican state assembly, a Republican state Senate, and a Republican governor, with Robin Voss essentially the ringleader of this, with Scott Walker on the presidential campaign trail, they failed to send a budget in adequate time. They were almost 2 weeks late for the budget process when they had complete control. So there was disagreement in the Republican caucus that summer, too, the summer of 2015. And so it seems like Robin Voss maybe isn't, he's got an ironclad majority because of the gerrymandered maps, but it doesn't seem like he can get everybody on the same page when they don't have a unified opposition.
So you're telling us in 2015 it was a failed political menage a trois. The three people just didn't work together at all.
The state assembly, the state senate, and the governor's office were not on the same page that summer either because they delivered a budget late. Yeah. And so if you're telling me now that Robin Voss is the only still constant in that equation,
might be a problem with old Robin.
I think it might be on Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and not the other parties involved, because yesterday Governor Tony Evers' office indicated that they were optimistic. They were seeing progress move to see compromise on this shared revenue proposal, and seems like the state Senate, led by State Senator Devin Lemahieu, is open to at least having a conversation, the public hearing, and getting where his caucus is at on the same page. But Robin Voss, he's done negotiating.
I never worked in the assembly, so I can't speak to that. I spent my time in the Capitol and in the state senate. I will tell you, Senator Van Wongard is still there from just south of Milwaukee. Those kind of Milwaukee area senators, they do stick together. So it might be a sense where some of these Southeast Republican senators are like, look, I don't represent Milwaukee County necessarily.
But we like going there.
But we like going. And they've got donors from those areas as well.
There you go. Maybe Todd is mentioning the
all
the
comes
key
down
reason.
To the money. All comes down to the money.
In politics, and we discussed a large part of that yesterday. If you missed any portion of the show, Ron Johnson's campaign fundraising, eligible for $8.4 million. You can check out the podcast of Dueling Tangents from yesterday. William Walter joined me, wherever fine podcasts are listened to. But I am joined on a Thursday afternoon by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, and you can join us on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. We're going to continue on with some more Wisconsin tangents, and then revive some Frankenstein tangents as well. Dueling Tangents is going to be right back.
I have never been more excited about anything that I get to have gotten the chance to work
on. No, I don't see it.
To Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app and take us with you on the go as you're on the road this summer, traveling around the state. You can jump from station to station and just take us with you in your pocket. It's free. Download it. Easy to do on any of your smart devices. Civic Media app, go to the Apple or Google Play stores, and you can find the app wherever apps are downloaded. I am joined on a Thursday afternoon by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, and a line in the sand was drawn, according to State Senate Majority Leader here in Wisconsin, by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, because he's not negotiating anymore. It's not like we're hard up against a deadline either, Todd.
Right. No.
There's no pressing, unless it's an artificial deadline that Robin Voss is creating for negotiations. There's not a clock on this.
Right.
They could discuss this and have a bipartisan compromise and deliver for municipalities around the entire state with this transformative piece of legislation.
Yeah.
And it seems like Evers and the state Senate are open to conversations, but Robin Voss, he's done negotiating.
It's been a while since I've been in the building, as they say, the state capitol. But I have sat in negotiations with Speaker Voss back in 2011, 2012, 2013, in that era, when it was over mining at the time. And the legislation that would have repealed and ultimately did repeal a lot of the mining legislation up north, because my boss, former State Senator Dale Schultz, was it was a one-seat majority at the time. Mm-hmm. And so Dale and Speaker Voss and some others were in negotiations. And he's not an easy guy at the time, based on my own experience, just not an easy guy to negotiate with. Is very much, very polite. He doesn't yell or anything like that, but he very much just comes to the table and says, well, this is what we have, and this is what we're doing. Does anybody want to talk about it? And then, I mean, that's the way he is. And then it's not like, hey, how can we find compromise? It's like, this is what we're doing. And he just sits there. And you kind of say, well, you know, we could do this or we could do that. Very interesting. But again, this is what we're doing.
So set in his own way. Yeah, he's made up his mind.
He is not a pragmatist, at least in my own. And I'm, you know, this is one negotiation over one bill. But he wasn't rude or unpleasant, but just very set in his ways. And when he comes in, he really isn't there to negotiate so much as to, like a bull in a china shop, get what he wants.
Gotcha. So just by being very obstinate,
that's a great word.
Dead set on what he wants and not moving, not budging from that, just demanding those provisions. And it's going to be interesting to see where this goes now. We'll see the rifts in the Republican majority in both the state assembly and state senate now are going to have to come to some kind of compromise. So as the majority leader of the state senate said, there's going to be public hearings in that legislative body next week. So we're going to have to keep an ear out for that. If you want to share a tangent with us on this subject or any subject, we take tangents of all kinds here on Dueling Tangents. 844-967-2789. We got our friend Mark from Prior to SAC calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, you just had to bring up the whole public hearings. I wonder how public hearings are going to be held public. Who are the public is actually going to be invited?
I forget if it was the shared revenue bill or not, Mark, in the state assembly, but there was a recent public hearing where the only speakers that were allowed to speak were invite only. So it was kind of like a
university.
Not shared revenue, but
that's what drops out of a horse's rear end to have meetings like that. That because I can't say the word on the radio that because you know
careful Evan's watching over there been, yeah you keep it PG Mark
money is speech but speech yes horse hockey is what Colonel Potter used to
yes,
say
thank you a MASH fan MASH. I love it
but it is just remarkable that Robin Voss, I mean, for all these Republicans, I mean, I you know that maybe they should get served up with a completely deregulated meals whenever they eat, but so you don't know what kind of contamination is going to be in their food, in their water, and that if they drop over from food poisoning, well, so be it. That's the world they want to live in, as we're
small government, no regulations. Yeah, no, we appreciate the phone call, Mark. Well, there's PFAS updates as well going on here in the state. We've got a possible bipartisan proposal on that as well, so we're going to dive into that maybe not today but in a future show here on Dueling Tangents. But we'll continue on with the tangents. Over on the phone lines, we got Jack from Merrimack, Todd's favorite caller, just because of the rhyming. Jack, what's on your mind this Thursday afternoon?
Jack, what up?
Yeah, well, well, you know, Robin Voss has been gerrymandered in place for so long, and he almost lost out on primary this year, or his last year, but it still didn't scare him. He doesn't care. It's his way or the highway, and he knows that his constituents aren't going to throw him out because he's just locked in place. He has no consequences for any of his actions, so he can just say my way or the highway, and that's what he'll do. We've got to take this gerrymandering stuff back to the state Supreme Court at this point. That's got to stop. There haven't been consequences for these guys in well over a decade. And frankly, I've lived in this state all my life. I'm getting tired of it.
Yeah, it's enough to get be tired over. That's for sure, Jack, because I do believe this is a fallout of gerrymandering here.
Jack makes a great point. Wouldn't you think with Janet Porter's sandwich coming out of the court in August, the lines could actually get redrawn? Robin Voss might actually have to have a competitive race, and when you only win by 300-some-odd votes, wouldn't you want to seem like a pragmatist? The arrogance of Voss.
Or at least see that you're reasonable and come to a compromise, not just insisting that your starting point is the end point, because it seems like that's Robin Voss's take. We'll continue to take your tangents and jump to a couple other ones of our own. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dual Tangents across Civic Media.
He is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Dueling Tangents. You're listening to us across the Civic Media Network. You want to share a tangent with us on this Thursday afternoon, 844-967-2789. I am joined by Todd Alba, host of The Todd Alba Show, that you can check out on several Civic Media stations, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., Monday through Friday. And just an all-around excellent program. I highly recommend you tune in.
Thank you. Thank you. It's especially great on Tuesdays at 10:30. When Luke Mathers joins us for Tuesday Tangents with Luke.
And that's we're doing Thursday Tangents with Todd. It works.
Oh, look at that.
There we go.
Tease everywhere.
Yes. And we love the alliteration here. So we were talking about the Republican rift. And now let's talk about No Mo May. Because we're gonna kind of just do a complete shift around of where we're. I think we shared enough information. We've got now kind of dueling ideas in both the state assembly and state senate about what's next for the shared revenue. Yep. Seems like the state senate, Republican-led, is open to at least having a conversation around compromise with the Evers proposal on shared revenue. State assembly, not the case. Yep. Seems like Robin Voss, well, his exact words were, "I'm done negotiating."
Yep.
And so a little bit of different tactic there. And it seems like there's different approaches to No Mo May. And you and I may be on different sides of it, but I'd love to get an update if you are participating in No Mo May. 844-967-2789. I want to hear how it's going for you. We are 18 days into the month, and I have completed my No Mo May.
Congratulations, Luke.
I did it all of last year. Thank you, Todd.
We'll get a gold star.
I didn't go all the way to May 31st. I did last year. Last year, I did No Mo May, new homeowner, kind of used it as an excuse because I had plenty of other things to do around the house. And I was like, I'll get to mowing in June. And then I didn't mow until like June 3rd last year. And boy, did that suck. Like I did No Mo May. My lawn looked like a jungle.
I bet it did.
It was a lot of grass to mow last year. And so after that experience, I was like, I love the pollinators. I want to be able to do the Sun Prairie gives you an excellent sign even. It says, pardon.
Do they really?
Yeah.
They give you a sign in Sun Prairie mowing?
You get a little yard sign so that the your neighbors know that you're participating in a program sanctioned by the city. Right. And it says, don't mind the weeds. We're feeding the bees.
Says the people without allergies, don't mind the weeds. Don't mind them. Just sneeze your head off, cough, hack. Sound like you're smoking cigarettes, but don't mind them.
So you're having a pretty tough May because
a tough May from people like you.
And you're going to blame it all on the No Mo May crowd?
Not all of it, no.
Okay. I would think that climate change and the shifting of the seasons and then how we have 80 degrees now in May, I think that's got a bigger reason for your allergies.
We've talked about this in the morning on our show, and our ongoing contributor, Mr. Perry, found this article. I think you dialed it up, which at least one person agrees with me. And says what you do is you give the bees and the insects a false sense of hope. You give them a month. They kind of make their little whatever colony or temporary home. And then you come through the 1st of June and whack them off like the mob.
Or
chew them up.
Like me, you don't wait all the way for the 1st of June this year.
Worse.
And I did end No Mo May. The front yard got mowed last night. The backyard, because of my dog. Got mowed over the weekend on Saturday because he couldn't do his business in how tall the grass was.
See, it was so tall you can't do your business, and that's way too tall.
But I left the perimeter in the backyard that has, I think it's like Creeping Charlie or some kind of purple flower, is along the perimeter. See, and those are great. Those are exactly what you're trying to preserve for the pollinators.
No.
Yes.
Here's my problem. I'm all for like natural prairie grasses and everything. But that's the thing, Luke. You got to talk to your landscaper, your garden person.
Actually
plant real natural grasses. Thistles and dandelions and Creeping Charlie does not a natural prairie make. Those are weeds. W-E-E-D-S, weeds.
That's why it says part of the weeds we're feeding the bees. The bees don't care if they're getting the dandelions or the clover or the Creeping Charlie. They just need something to pollinate.
We can pardon Nixon. We can pardon Hunter Biden, but we're not going to pardon any weeds. You understand? It's not happening. I just.
That's the strangest line to draw.
I think that, fine. I'm all for planting butterfly gardens. I'm pro bee. Bees are seriously under in danger and in trouble. I just don't know whether or not leaving your grass grow to heck for a month is going to really help them all that much.
Well, I'm not saying it's a silver bullet. I think it's just a good little helpful. And you alluded to the piece. It's over at the AP, written up by the regular garden columnist, Jessica Damiano, I want to say is how it's pronounced. No mo may. Good intentions, bad approach, critics say. But she herself is just one of those critics. But this is kind of an opinion piece. If you've got an opinion on no mo may, we want to hear if you're participating. Are you still participating? What kind of hurdles are you having? Is your grass getting a little bit too long? 844-967-2789. Are you like me? Do you have a pet that's kind of like, what the heck? I gotta use this area. Yeah, he's got to do his business. And I think he was almost confused
after going
into the backyard. No, once it was cut again.
Oh.
He was just like, wait, what happened? Where'd all the grass go? And so
his bathroom just expanded.
Yes. He could go in many different... Well, except the perimeter around the backyard. I left where those flowers are growing because, as you point out, if the bees or these pollinators have that false sense of hope and having a home... I spent 30 years in a false sense of hope
and voting for Republicans. That was a false sense of hope.
Different set of false sense of hope. But I left all of those flowers where I have seen this year so many more bees than in years past. Yes, there are a tremendous amount of bumblebees in my backyard now. And I can tell you that I'm the only neighbor in my little cluster in the backyard there that is participating in No Mo May. Everybody else has got everything all cleared out. There's just no dandelions. They're putting down the weed and feed. They're doing all of that stuff. And there's not as many pollinators. I can tell you that my yard has all the pollinators because the birds love my yard.
They are
trying to feed on the ecosystem. Like, I'm seeing with my eyes, Todd, the effects of what participating for 2 weeks. That's what it boiled down to be, roughly 2 weeks. So just shy of that in the backyard.
I don't think two weeks is anything bad, but 4 weeks, a full month, I think that's too much.
I did that last year, and I'm telling you, I will agree.
It was too much.
I agree, too much of a good thing. Full month, but I think the premise of No Mo May is just don't mow for as long as you can. If you've got thoughts, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. Are you participating in No Mo May? Did you give up like I did? We want to hear it. You can call or text 844-967-2789. You can be like Nick here in Madison. Nick, are you a participant in No Mo May?
Yes and no. I mean, there's a lot of pressure from the, the Protestant work ethic neighbors, you know, that you really look like a freak if you do it, you know? And so
that's the part of the sign, though, Nick. It's the sign that Sun Prairie gave me. It lets me tell my neighbors I'm not just ignoring my lawn. I'm doing this actively.
Yeah. All right, Nick, go ahead.
Anyway, so I went and got my lawnmower out because the pressure was immense.
Right.
And I let somebody borrow it last year, and it when I used it, it was really messed up. So I tipped it over, looked at it, and the blade was bent at a 90-degree angle away from the mower. So
he sabotaged you.
Hammer. I was pounding on it with a hammer. That's hard to bend metal like that.
Right?
I finally did. I was ready to cut the grass and kill all the bugs. And one of those deals where the crankcase doesn't, your rope won't come out.
We've all been there.
A boat motor or a lawnmower.
Yep.
And I remember it happened to me, and I thought I could fix it. So, no, the bugs are still out there. The neighbors are pissed off. You know, I wanted to do the right thing. So I'm going to put up a sign. I'm going to say, hey, man, I tried. I pounded on that blade.
The lawn won. The lawn won this year. That's what you're saying.
You fought the lawn, and the lawn won.
Yeah,
I did see some big pet bumblebees.
Oh, yeah, they're out there. I'm telling you, they're coming back in the lawns that are observing No Mo May. We appreciate the phone call, Nick.
That was fantastic.
You can be like Nick. 844-967-2789 if you've got a story about No Mo May. We want to hear it because Todd is vehemently against No Mo May.
I don't know that I'm vehemently against it.
You're pretty animated right now.
Well, because these are the worst my allergies have been in years, and I just think there's enough other places for the bees to go besides the yard.
Where besides the yard?
All the parks, all the woods, all the flower gardens.
And that's why I think it's terrific that the city and these municipalities are getting involved in No Mo May, because there are so many vacant, large, wide open spaces that then just get pruned down and mowed. Because
so
that's
you're
what's
telling
expected.
Me out in Sun Prairie, all the public lands, the parks, the baseball diamonds, they haven't mowed those in a year.
Not all of them, but what they're doing right now is they're doing about 2 blade widths around the perimeter so they can still access it, yeah. But the wide open space, like next to the Sun Prairie Library, almost all of that is completely just letting the pollinators thrive there right now because it's No Mo May. The city is observing it, and I think it's a terrific way. I think that there's plenty of open spaces that you can let this happen, and maybe it's not for everybody's yard, but I think it's a good thing. Last year, I think I was the only neighbor on the block that did it. This year, there was at least half a dozen of us.
Really?
Yes.
You're leading the cause.
I don't know if that's the case, but there are more people getting open to the idea of you don't necessarily have to groom your lawn immediately as soon as spring or whatever this summer of 80 degree days that we're getting already in May is. It makes a difference. I'm telling you from firsthand experience. I've seen the bumblebees. I've seen the pollinators. The birds are loving the yard right now.
What Luke's not telling you is he accepts a check every month from the insect caucus and the lobbyists. Insect lobbyists.
It all comes down to money to you, huh? You think it's all?
No, I'm just giving you a hard time. Like I think I'd be a little melodramatic. Imagine that.
One of the nonprofit campaigns that I worked on, though, was saving the bees and working to get things.
In all seriousness, I know that there is a honeybee situation, a problem, and I'm all for doing that. I'm just not so sure of the science behind letting your lawn go if it really does help them or not.
And reading from the AP piece, the intention is admirable. Let your grass and weeds grow and bloom to provide food and shelter for essential pollinators like bees and butterflies early in the season when such necessities. There we go.
Take two.
It's a Thursday. That was take three. Thank you, though. Maybe scarce. And then she goes on, frankly, I think it's a terrible idea. And goes into that's the AP. She's saying, don't do this. It's
don't
bad.
Do it.
You're giving them a false sense of hope. But I think any little bit that the bees and the pollinators can have, they're in an uphill battle. They're being wiped out. There are pesticides, insecticides, all of these things that have been affecting their habitats. And I think a handful of houses on a block can contribute a little bit.
Everybody does their part.
Yeah.
So one of my listeners this morning said that I was a reactionary and say that because said the real reason that they just No Mo May is to stop gas mowers, which put all these emissions into the air and that it says, you're a reactionary. People like you condemn any direct ban effort, just like you condemn action to end gas stoves, even though they're the largest emission source in a building which is otherwise built to modern codes. And induction cooking has zero emissions and is more efficient. Because I happen to say I like cooking on a gas stove, all right?
I'm with you on that one. I like cooking on a gas stove, too.
We have found compromise. Unlike Robin Voss, we have found compromise at Dueling Tangents over gas cooking.
There you go. Folks, if you got a tangent, if you're participating in No Mo May, we want to hear about it. 844-967-2789. Quickly here before the next break, we got Haas and Sheboygan calling in. Haas, are you celebrating No Mo May up there in Sheboygan?
Well, I'm going to be celebrating with an old-fashioned right after this phone call. I don't know what's worse. Factless CJ or statsless Todd? I was a fan. I'm going to have to reconsider. Let me help you out here, Todd.
All right,
yeah,
give it to
statsless. 400-plus right. Species of bees in Wisconsin are native. The honeybee is not native. They all need blooms all through the year, so I participate in No Mo Year. And you have to get the neighbors kind of used to the idea. But I've got all the monarchs and the butterflies, and they come around for miles to see them.
All right, let me ask you this. 96%
reduction of all pollinators, 96%. So if we think we're going to get away with just 1 month of bushy lawns, that's not going to do it. Besides, the others are spreading poison like nuts on their lawns. You'll see it with those little red and white signs. Herbicides killing off the dandelions, killing off everything. All I can say is for anybody who does cut their lawn, spread in some Dutch white clover seeds.
Let me ask you quick. Do you actually plant these flowering plants specifically for this?
We're going to have to hold you off. Okay, we got yes. We're going to continue the conversation, folks. You're listening to Dueling Tangents.
I got to go to my old-fashioned.
There we go. 844-967-2789. We want to hear your No-Mo May stories.
.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined on a Thursday afternoon by Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, that you can hear across WRCE News from the Center, WXCO Bull Falls Radio, and WLAK Lake Air up in Amory from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Monday through Friday. And we are discussing No Mo May, which Todd hates. Todd hates No Mo May.
That's an awful strong word. I think our last caller, Haas, I think we were on to something there. Unfortunately, he had to go fix himself an old-fashioned. I don't blame him a bit. I wish we were having an old-fashioned right now, quite frankly, on an aux. But in any case, yes. I think he was on to something here. Look, if you're good, it sounds like he knows his plants. He knows his gardening. And so if you go out and you plant specific plants for butterflies and bees and specific natural vegetation and grasses for Wisconsin, I think that's a whole other ball game than just letting your thistles and your dandelions go all year. I think there's a big difference there.
That's fair. I can appreciate that approach. And I think the No Mo May mentality, I think, is starting the excellent conversation to have, though. It is shifting away from what I think everybody just assumes is the standard for lawns. Mm-hmm. And then maybe this is a conversation that somebody's like, well, I want to help those pollinators. I want to do that. How can I make my lawn more like what Haas is describing then, and be able to transition to that and not just leave it as an unkept mess, or however you want to refer to it as, for the month of May, and do something year round that will bring the pollinators back and help the ecosystem? Because, like, as Haas pointed out, I knew it was in the 90s, but 96% of pollinators are I don't know since when, but that's a huge reduction.
Oh yeah.
And so it's definitely something that we need to address. We got to be able to bring them back. We got another phone caller. Evan, it looks like my computer froze up, but I see that we got Kurt from Madison. Can you bring Kurt on the air with us?
Hey, Kurt.
That's me. Hi.
Kurt, are you participating in No Mo May?
No, and here's why. Again, it's a broad brush execution without breaking things down. So, yes. We shouldn't cut things down in certain areas, but look at me. I live on Mineral Point Road. I call it the interior highway. There, I have better chances of winning the lottery than seeing one single bee on any weed flower growing on the terrace. So, again, the objective is good, but if you're not going to be a little bit more forward thinking about it, you're really not helping anything other than the Creeping Charlie taking more territory across the terrace.
I'm going to prune it, Kurt.
Problem.
It's, yeah, I don't disagree that the Creeping Charlie isn't a problem, but
thanks.
Appreciate the phone call, Kurt. You can be like Haas and all of our excellent callers. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media, and reviving this tangent because it's past the middle of May now. I want to know if you are still participating in No Mo May. If you've got strong opinions one way or the other, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. But I think it's a good conversation
now
to start.
I'm a big believer. Back before I grew this beard about a year and a half ago, I was a big believer in No Shave November.
Okay. Did you always go all the way through the month of November? Did you get to a point where you're like, I don't like this?
No, I was a big supporter. I let my mustache grow, and I didn't have a full beard.
Yeah.
But I did the full mustache. I let it go all, it's kind of like a cheap porn mustache is what it looks like. I have a terrible mustache. But the beard, when you get the whole thing in, not so bad.
There you go.
So I was dedicated to No Shave November because it was raising money for testicular cancer.
Yes.
And so that was a very good cause.
What was it, Movember?
Movember. Movember, yeah. A friend of mine's brother went through that, and so I was always happy to help raise money for that. And so it was for a cause. And, you know, bees are a fine cause as well. And again, I want to make clear, I do not, I'm not a climate denier in any way, shape, or form. I know that bees are in a bad place right now. I'm all for helping them out.
Yeah.
And I think Haas has enlightened me a little bit and given me some facts. So
again, we have the conversation because it's through dialogue and conversation and talking about these ideas that you can come to at a point of agreement that it seems like because of an artificial line in the sand that has been drawn, we might be skeptical to see what happens with the shared revenue bill in the state capitol. Todd Alba, really appreciate you joining me on this Thursday afternoon.
Always a pleasure, Lukester. It's my pleasure to be here. Hope Brian feels better soon. We didn't get to it, but I'll simply get Mac Flynn going for next hour. Diane Feinstein.
I was saying, we got a couple of minutes, so we can get to it.
We got Clint from Oshkosh as well.
Oh, all right, Clint. Clint, are you participating in No Mo May?
Kind of.
Kind of. All right, so it's a halfway point. Describe your halfway point to me.
My halfway point is compromising with my wife. And I'm calling it Mullet May because it's business in the front and party in the back.
So it is not No-Mo May, it is Mullet Lawn May. Everything in the front yard is pruned and looking great, and the backyard is growing all of the different things for the pollinators.
That's right. Wild in style.
There we go.
I think we have reached the perfect compromise at the end of the show.
Hang on, though. I still got a dilemma with this one.
Why?
Because Remy does his business in the backyard.
Well, he may have to do. The dog may have
Clint,
to go
Clint,
the front.
Do you have dogs, Clint?
Yes.
And how do they like the wild flowers that are growing in the backyard?
I don't think they mind their dogs.
Okay, fair enough.
Remy apparently is a very high-end dog.
He's a little bit of a diva. Bit of a diva. Yeah, right. That's true. So it may just be this case basis. But appreciate the phone call, Clint. See, there are ways to do it.
That was the best call of the day.
Mullet May.
There we go.
That's what we gotta do, a little additional branding for next year. Remainder of this year and then next year.
All right. Mullet May.
That is an excellent way to go about it.
We got one more take here. We got Gordon Kopke. We got Mr.
Oh,
Kopke.
Gordy. Gordy, are you mowing around the greenhouses?
I do not do the no-mow May for a couple of reasons. One is I got 12 acres of hayfield, which is a dandelion patch, which could feed about a zillion bees if you want 10 years over.
I will.
And the other reason is I sell flowers for pollinators, and people can come to my yard, they can mow their lawn, and then beautify their yards with my flowers and feed the pollinators.
Oh, yeah, Gordy.
100%.
I have plenty of products from your greenhouse that are in the yard as well. So along with the Creeping Charlie that I will get a hold of eventually, there are Kopke greenhouse flowers and plants in my backyard for the pollinators.
I purchased 5 flowers at Kopke. It's a great place.
Excellent place. Appreciate the phone call, Gordy. Folks, if you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, Dueling Tangents. You can just head over to Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us. Click on the Dueling Tangents tab. You can catch all of today's edition. Really appreciate Todd Alba, host of the Todd Alba Show, for joining me. And you can also find that podcast wherever podcasts are listened to, Apple, Spotify, Twitter,
everywhere.
Stitcher. Follow the show on Twitter, at Dueling Tangents. We're going to be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Going to be joined by State Representative Francesca Hong.
Very nice.
Yeah, excited to have a conversation with the representative and catch up with her here on the airwaves. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you all then.